Among the top companies in the world, culture is king. But why? Forever it seemed like finding happiness and success was on the shoulders of the employee. But that is no longer an acceptable practice if you want to scale a successful business. Joining us is Culturize founder and CEO Jason Richmond. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Happy to be here. Appreciate it.
So this is exciting. I went to Northwestern to study crisis communication and communication studies as a master's program. And this was a huge topic for us. This is 2012, 2011. Mm-hmm. And it has only gotten to be a bigger issue.
For sure.
So I guess kind of right off the bat, before we get into what Culturized is and what you do, why don't you kind of talk about the importance of culture and why people should care about it and what it means from the standpoint of a tactical standpoint rather than just like the buzzword, like, oh, which, you know, it's good culture. Like, that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's not. And just like you said, all the way back from 2011, 2012, culture started becoming important, and it is a buzzword. But what happened in about 2014 is culture moved into the boardroom.
Yep.
And organizations and organizational leaders have really realized that culture has a business impact. And people that build up that culture is a huge resource and an asset on everything they do. And that's why I got so interested in culture, is because it's not just a buzzword, and it's not going to go away, and it's not the program of this month. It's not a flavor of the month thing. So culture has a real business impact for organizational leaders, for shareholders, for stockholders, and those types of things. For employees, it also has. For individual contributors, it has a huge impact. People do not stay in today's world. People do not stay in organizations that they're not comfortable in the culture that the organization has.
Well, we're going to get into that and sort of how your company deals with this. But like in my personal experience, and like I said, I've spent a good amount of time, working with companies and those that have very poor cultures and those that have, better or, great cultures in some cases. Clark is a company that reminds me that has an unbelievable culture out in Joliet. One of the things I've noticed is, you said leadership starts with the leaders, is that you get some of these guys who have built a family-run business, particularly family-owned businesses, and there sort of becomes this like kingmaker mentality where it's like, well, I'm the boss. I created this. I call all the shots. And they hire these employees, and the employees have like a subculture that is usually a little bit, against the grain of the top leaders in the company. Mm-hmm. And you create this sort of corrosive, non-buildable company that, they say often that the second and third generation of a company, of a family-owned company, usually has a 100% fail rate, 90% fail rate, something in that armor. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that when you have an inward culture that's really not focused on the other people and the employees, you can't build a company from there. Once it turns over, you can't build it.
I would agree. If you're building an organization like that, you're building house cards.
Yep.
That will tumble. One of the toughest things for that entrepreneur, that family owned or that small business, is founders and leaders of organizations. One of the best lessons I've learned and best practices I've received from thousands of people I've talked to within organizations is that you have to leave your ego at the door. I think culture starts with ego and mindset.
Sure.
And from a founder of a company or a building company, is sometimes leaders struggle with hiring people that are smarter than they are.
I think they do almost exclusively. I mean, and that's not just picking on them. It's a tough thing.
Yeah. So you have to really be able to break down that barrier. And if you really want to have a successful culture, a successful and ongoing sustainable organization, you have to come to the realization that you're not always going to be the smartest person in the room. And as I build my organization, and I would give advice to anybody building a new organization, is hire the best and the right people, even if they are smarter than you, better that they are.
Yeah.
Because you usually that leadership role, that founder, that entrepreneur, they're the rainmaker.
Yep.
They're the face. But it needs that level of emotional intelligence, IQ to bring in the organization to grow, to build.
Well, that's always been like the sort of the red flag, if you will, for HR departments. They're always known for people sifting through the applications and making sure that they didn't hire somebody who was, equal to or better than credentialed than they are, because obviously I'm hiring my replacement essentially.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you have that approach to things, if that's your thought process, the culture is already not good.
Yeah, it's going to struggle.
Yeah,
right. And you'll have a revolving door. You'll have a hard time retaining your top talent.
Yep.
You'll have a hard time attracting new talent.
Yeah.
Because even in the interview process, today, individual contributors, people entering the workforce, they're talking about culture. They want to know what it's like to work there. You know, in a broad sense, in a very general sense, you know, what does culture mean? Well, I think it's different for every company out there. I don't think everybody can have the culture as Google.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone could be successful with a culture like NASDAQ. Right? You've got to have your own culture and build your organization based on what you want to accomplish.
Well, I want to first go and talk about sort of what Culturized is and how you're able to help these companies.
Yep.
And then we'll circle back and talk about sort of from a startup standpoint, some of the keys to why culture is important and how you can utilize culture to really grow your company exceedingly fast.
Yep.
So why don't you kind of tell us a little bit, what is Culturized and how did you kind of decide to do this?
Okay. My career started over 20 years ago in professional learning and development and training. I actually launched my career and started with Dale Carnegie and Associates. Mm-hmm. And I've, over that 20-year period, I have worked with Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies all over the globe in regards to leadership development and sales development, presentation, executive presence, you know, all that soft skill ability that makes organizations click. Not the technical side of things, the technical expertise, but the soft skills. And through that, and through the best practices, and through the evolution of generations and leadership methodologies and best practices, we've really realized that culture is making a big difference in today's world. So, especially with globalization.
Yeah.
So we really felt that there was a gap in organizations out there helping companies assess their culture, take a look at what their culture really is. So we've developed cultural assessments. We've developed tools to help organizations get the right type of input to really get a good overall picture, 30,000 foot view of what their culture is. And then through that process, identify, you know, gaps in that culture and help coach and help develop ways of addressing cultural gaps that's actually having business impact.
Well,
and that's
yeah.
kind of our process, and that's why we developed Culturized, and that's where we're going today. Anywhere from the startup company to the mid-sized company all the way up to Fortune 100 company, culture holds the same importance.
Would you say then, from Culturized standpoint, is it starting off with a test to determine what the culture currently is? Because you can obviously ask all the questions you want, but no one tells the truth about themselves.
Yeah,
so you've got to get a general baseline. And then from there, it's implementation of coaching tools or how is it team?
It's coaching tools. It's internal culture committees. It is can be a series of, you know, quarterly workshops, quarterly engagements, you know, to make sure. And you can't tackle everything at once.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to change a culture in 6 months.
Yeah.
You're not going to change a corporate culture in a year, right? But you can make some very, very fundamental, measurable strides and link that to business impact and link that to people, processes, financial impact, however you want to, whatever your business, however you measure your business, and make progress. But it's not something that's going to come and go. It's a constant effort, and it really becomes part of your HR talent strategy, really.
Well, the culture has to be your backbone. I mean, honestly, if you're when stuff gets difficult, I mean, that's mm-hmm. ultimately like right the military. I mean, that's the whole purpose behind all of the training and the boot camp and the get your grit and the, you know, sort of the grunt mentality. That's the whole point.
Yep.
Is that when shit hits the fan, you're able to be like boom, and be all over it, and you never fade, you never waver, and that I think. That is why, from the startup standpoint, I think that this is an important message for them, and you're doing something that I think would be important to them. Is, as you mentioned, any company, Fortune mm-hmm. 500, any company, no matter whether you're Google or you're NASDAQ or you're a machining company or whatever you are,
that's right.
You've got a challenge that you've got to figure out what is the pace that we grow, what mm-hmm. is our daily operational pace at, and startup companies in particular are scrambling, and most of the people are wearing multiple hats, right?
That's right.
And so if they don't establish that early base culture and determine, like, these four co-founders are super important and we're going to be working together and hiring on top of each other.
Yep.
What are we going to do to make sure that we hire on top of each other in a healthy, growth-oriented culture? What could you do or what would you suggest to a company of guys in any you know, pick your industry as an example, that if I started a company that I could do right off the bat to make sure that we lead culture first?
Mm-hmm. A couple key components of that. One is inclusion. The person, the individual starting that out, launching it, bringing the teams together, make sure they're including the people around them that's going to help launch this organization, right? Launch their company. So many times, we don't take the time to actually really get what other people think and feel. Their ideas could be fundamentally a huge difference in our success, especially early on and as we're building and growing. So I'd say inclusion is a part of any successful culture, and make sure that you start out right out the gates with having that. The other thing is a level of entrepreneurship. You know, you're working with an organization, but that level of entrepreneurship from an employee standpoint, they feel like they are a part of building a world that they belong in.
Yeah.
So people will support a world that they help create. So allowing that entrepreneurship and that ability to, you know, communicate and share ideas and brainstorm, and a little bit of that freedom to do that makes a huge impact on probably your growth rate.
Yeah.
Most likely your growth rate and your success rate.
Well, better ideas are coming from people who feel like they have a vested interest in it and they've got the opportunity to dabble in and it be, you know, what I can't remember. I was just reading this. I can't remember what company it is. Maybe it is even Google. It's Facebook.
Yep.
Who enables all of their staff to essentially spend 20% of their day on whatever initiatives they want to do because they feel like more great ideas will come of that 20% than will be doing busy work that they could, you know, bot out, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for an example, you know, an example, I've interviewed GoPro,
yep.
You know, the cameras, and part of their culture is, I think it's every Thursday for 2 hours in the afternoon, every employee goes do what they have to do, but they videotape it on a GoPro, right? I mean, that's very unique to
bind and buy into the company, right? I'm giving you the tools we do, and you can give us ideas to make it better. And then when you see other people using it, you know that came from you.
That's right. So, I mean, any organization, any startup organization, any entrepreneurial mindset, and you're building a team, let those people get behind that product or service. And it could be a service also, but let them live it.
I'm going to put you on the spot before we exit on here.
Sure.
I 100% agree with everything you just said there with regard to inclusion. But it reminded me of, like, I got like a hair on my neck stand up because this is something that has bothered me forever. When I see the CC line in an email, it makes me nervous because I've got trust issues at all sorts of levels, so I'm not even going to go there. But I don't know what the other person's going to do with this information, and it makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. I don't understand sometimes how like, you know, this is a personal contact or it's a trusted contact or it's something that I have a dialogue, and that dialogue is methodical and controlled. It's not by accident. And then I CC somebody on there because I feel like I want to include you in it. I'm trying to be inclusive because I want you to feel that I am bringing you in on what we're doing, and I want you to, you know, feel vested and feel like I care about your opinion and input. However, I'm going to get really pissed if you put something down there or you take it and run with somebody's, you know, it's...
That's right.
What do you suggest people who are like me? Is it just go home, get rid of the CC bar? What can I do to either A, improve my trusting of other people, or maybe it's B, control the amount of dialogue I have with those individuals on the backside so that they know my expectations? What would you recommend? I threw a hard one out there.
Well, you did, and I. It's funny because I, with clients and customers we're working with, the subject of email in communications is a daily topic for us, and it's a challenge. Email is a business tool. And it's a business function. I would not relate email to inclusion.
Yeah.
I don't think it does anything for inclusion. My personal opinion, an email is an information communication tool. It's one way.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be interpreted. If you really want to I do believe best practice in email is you avoid that CC for
so
people that it's not relevant
then,
for.
So to that point, mm-hmm. would you say that it might be a better, from a communication and culture standpoint, that I say to a person who says to me, wait, why wasn't I CC'd on that? And I feel like that's, I should have been in. Do I say, listen, this is an intercommunication between me and another party, and I made a decision on it. We could talk offline about it.
Exactly.
But try to be open
say.
With that person and tell them, like, I did not view this as something that, it's like Steve Jobs, kick the people out of the meeting who don't need to be there.
Yeah.
Type
yeah.
of scenario.
But because what value are, if people are packing meeting rooms and people are reading emails that really they don't, that doesn't impact them at all, that's time in their day.
Yeah.
That they're not being productive for you. I mean, I think email control is a huge corporate issue right now, and a lot of employees and a lot of individuals, they'll hide behind email.
It's a problem for me.
And to get away from that and use it for what email really should be used for, walk down the hall and talk to someone. Pick up a phone
yep.
once in a while or schedule an email and say, I need 10 minutes on the phone. You'll be amazed, and I've tested this with organizations. We'll be amazed that if you set up a 10-minute phone call, versus sending back and forth 6 or 7 or 8 emails, you've maximized your time.
Good advice.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. It helps a huge amount. I can tell you right now, all the people who want to be CC'd, if you're listening, you are off that CC, so I don't have to have that conversation with you. This has been great. You used a prop, which is even better. How do people get involved and find more out about Culturized?
The website is just www.culturized.com.
How did you secure that?
I
feel like that would have been used.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that would be used too. I've actually partnered and have the help with an organization here in Chicago called Mably,
yep.
and they helped me secure the website domain. The easiest way, the absolute easy way to get a hold of us is my mobile phone. I live and die by it, so does every other business professional out there.
I will warn you, this might not be a good idea to put this on there.
I know, but 312-550-8576. And you can go to culturize.com. I would be more than happy to continue conversations and have a culture assessment, culture conversation with anybody that would like to.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right. Thank you.
You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes and stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter @TechNori or follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.